The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, music and Western drama with Gene Autry and Melody Ranch. We'll also hear an episode of Columbia Workshop and the radio play The Wonderful Day, starring Kinsley Colton and Betty Jane Tyler. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR. On WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, an episode of Columbia Workshop in the radio play The Wonderful Day, starring Kinsley Colton and Betty Jane Tyler. Right now, music and Western drama with Gene Autry and Melody Ranch as WMKY presents The Golden Age of Radio.
Love's old song. The grace Thank you very, very much there, friend. Thank you. Say, Patrick.
Yeah, Mr. Ardley. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to tell you. I saw a guy today who said that he knew you.
Oh, he knows me? Well. Mm-hmm.
Can't think of his name, though.
Oh, you can't think. Was his name Swartz?
No.
Buchanan?
No.
Wasn't Carstairs Bridle Snapper, was it?
No.
Was it Aaron McCarron?
No.
Was it Brown?
No, it wasn't Brown.
Was it Brown?
I just told you it wasn't Brown.
Well, I know two Browns. I thought maybe it was the other one.
And it wasn't Jackson, either.
Well,
Now, look. Suppose we just forget it, huh? Besides, I want to talk to you about a couple of jobs we got for you tomorrow.
Oh. Was it Smith?
No, it wasn't Smith. And stop changing the subject. Now, listen. First, as soon as you get up in the morning, I want you to throw some hay to the horses. Put the cows out on the pasture. Clean the harness.
Yeah,
cut some wood for the kitchen. Unload those supplies that we got in town yesterday. Yeah. And then you know what?
What?
Bingo. It's ready for breakfast.
I had quite a night of it there, didn't I?
Never mind about the crack. Now, after breakfast, I want you to go and mend that fence over in the back pasture, brand that new bunch of calves we just got in, clean out the barn, cut some wood for the kitchen again, take the tractor over and plow that new 30-acre strip, and then you know what?
What?
Bingo, you're ready for lunch.
I'm not rushing them in the kitchen, am I?
Never mind the rushes. Now then, here comes the good part.
Oh, there's a good part to it, huh?
Yes. When night comes, you can ride into town and visit that little waitress that you've been going out with lately.
You mean Sunel Coonrod?
That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
Just think. You can set out on the swing on her back porch. She'll put her little old head over on your shoulder.
Oh.
And you'll put your little old arm around her.
Yeah.
And then you know what?
Yeah, zingo, I'm ready for breakfast again.
I'm a fool to care. When you treat me this way, I know I love you, but what can I do? I'm a fool to care. I'm a fool to cry. When you tell me goodbye, you left me so blue. When you were untrue, I'm a fool to care. I know I should laugh and call it a day. But I know I would cry if you went away. I'm a fool to care. When you don't care for me, why should I pretend? I'll lose in the end. I'm a fool to care. I know I should laugh and call it a day. But I know I would cry if you went away. I'm a fool to care. When you don't care for me, why should I pretend? I'll lose in the end. I'm a fool to care. Well, thank you very, very much, folks. I'm glad you liked it. Well, sir, here it is, story time once more on Melody Ranch. So what do you say that you all sit back and relax while I tell you the story of Buck versus Kate? A story that all began one summer quite a long time back, long before I ever owned Melody Ranch. At any rate, Johnny Bond and I were getting awful close to broke one day when we read an ad in the Help Wanted column of one of the stock journals saying that a fellow by the name of Buck Dean needed a couple of experienced hands. So without further ado, we rode out to the B Bar D spread, saw Buck Dean, and got the job.
Okay, you two. It's all clear then. Your only job is to ride my east boundary line from one end to the other. Cover it like a blanket. And I mean cover it. I'm settling an old score with that dame that runs that ranch next to mine, named Kate Hawkins.
Oh? Anything serious?
Plenty, son, plenty. 3 months ago, she had her place surveyed. The survey showed that my barn was setting 21 inches over on her property. 21 inches, mind you. So you know what that old she-cat did? She went to the law and made me move my whole barn over that measly 21 inches. Cost me darn near $400.
Ooh-wee.
Now, you can say that again, but now... now I've got her right where I want her. You see, the only water in this section is in Crazy Creek. And Crazy Creek is on my property.
Sounds to me like you got Miss Hawkins, or whatever her name is, right over the well-known barrel.
You darn right I have, son. But she started the whole thing by making me move my barn. And you know why?
No, why?
Because she's mean and ornery, that's why.
Oh.
And what's more, right now she's building a new feed house jam up again the same barn she made me move.
Oh?
And there's where I've got her again.
Hmm. What do you mean by that, Mr. Dean?
That I wouldn't tell my closest relative, son, even if I thought he dropped dead the second I told him.
Well, it looked as if a real battle was on between Buck Dean and Kate Hawkins. And even though Buck made it sound like Kate was a holy terror, I had a hunch there might be another side of the story. And there was. Matter of fact, it was the next day about noon, I guess. I'd gotten down off a champ and was on my stomach just getting a drink out of Crazy Creek when all of a sudden I saw a reflection in the water. A reflection that talked.
All you know, that water ain't full of rat poison, cowboy.
Huh? Well, I don't, ma'am. But if it is, I'd like to know it now so I can make peace with myself.
One of them new hands that old reprobate hired...
What old reprobate?
Oh, you know what old reprobate I'm talking about. Well, why don't you take a shot at me? I'm standing on your side of the boundary line.
What for? You're not hurting anything. Leastwise, you're not taking any water.
And if I was taking your water, what then?
Well, ma'am, I'll tell you. You being a woman, I don't guess there's anything I could do.
Well, look, cowboy. Don't ever let my being a woman stand in your way. Because I can whip any man in these parts. And you ain't no exception.
You know, you can just bet your last dollar that I'm not going to give you a chance to prove it.
Well, good.
Say, by the way, what's all this trouble between you and Buck Dean about, anyway?
Now, don't tell me he ain't told you.
He told me his side of it. Matter of fact, he claims that you started the whole thing by making him move his barn over 21 inches.
Oh, he did, eh? Well, for your information, it dates back a lot further than that.
Oh?
Sure. As far as that barn moving episode is concerned, I gotta admit I did it for spite, but believe me, I had my spider coming.
You know, Ms. Hawkins, I was just thinking.
What?
How far is your water tank from this creek at the nearest point?
About 300 yards, I'd say, and why?
Well, just this. It'd be mighty easy to lay 300 yards of pipe from the creek to your tank, wouldn't it?
What? Are you out of your mind? Not with men riding up and down this creek day and night watching every move I make, it wouldn't.
Well, that's just the point, Miss Hawkins. I ride the day shift. And I might accidentally, of course, make it convenient not to see what happens.
You know, cowboy, you got a real smart head on them big shoulders. Anytime I can do anything for you, just let me know.
Will you shake on that?
I'll put her there.
And so the next day, Kate Hawkins had her men start laying a pipeline through a wheat field that led from Crazy Creek to her water tank. It was a simple job, and in no time at all, her tank was filled to overflowing, with Buck Dean none the wiser. At any rate, after that, things went along right peaceful, like for the next couple of weeks. But then one day, the old man sent for me.
Kane, this is going to be my big day with Kate Hawkins.
Oh, is that so? I thought you two had settled down to a slow walk.
Huh? Not by a long shot. You remember me telling you that she made me move my barn over 21 inches after she had that survey made?
Yeah.
And you know that new concrete feed house she just finished building yesterday jam up again my barn?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make her tear down the whole shebang and move it back off in my property.
But I thought that...
I know what you thought, and Kate Hawkins thought the same thing. When I had to move my barn, I moved it over 36 inches instead of 21 inches. And now she's got a new concrete feed house resting exactly 15 inches over on my property. Yes, sir, son, this is the night I've been waiting a long, long... Evening, Miss Hawkins. I wonder if I might trouble you to discuss a little business.
Why, certainly, Mr. Dean. Now, won't you come in?
Well, thank you. Thank you. And by the way, this is Mr. Autry, one of my hands, Miss Hawkins.
How do you do, ma'am?
Well, it's nice to meet you, Mr. Autry. Any friend of Mr. Dean's is a friend of mine.
I take it your business has been good, Miss Hawkins.
Oh, never better, Mr. Dean. Oh, by the way, before we get down to whatever discussion you have in mind, would either of you gentlemen care for a piece of fresh home-baked apple pie?
Not for me, thank you, Miss Hawkins. You see, this is purely business call. However, after we've discussed...
Well, very well. And now, Mr. Dean... What, if I may ask, is the nature of your call?
Well, to begin with, Miss Hawkins, I'm sure you haven't forgotten the, shall we say, unfortunate incident when your survey forced me to move my barn over 21 inches off your property.
Oh, yes, yes, that was unfortunate, wasn't it? But now that it's all over...
But that's why I called. You see, Mrs. Hawkins, it isn't all over.
I don't believe I understand, Mr. Dean.
Well, Miss Hawkins, in my clever way, I hit upon an idea while moving my barn to move it over 36 inches instead of 21 inches. So now, for your information, your new concrete feed house happens to be resting approximately 2 feet over on my property.
Oh? Well, now, that is unfortunate, isn't it? That is, except for one small thing.
Eh? What small thing are you talking about?
Well, this, Mr. Dean. This report.
Report? What report?
The report of the survey. You see, it actually showed that your barn was originally 4 feet over on my property.
What did you say?
That's right, Mr. Dean. You see, when I told you your barn was only 21 inches over, I allowed for your trickery. So, for your official information, your blasted barn is still on my property!
Wait, I tell you,
I think you're right, Miss Hawkins. We'll see you later.
Right, Jean. And good night, Mr. Dean.
Nice night, Buck. Too bad it wasn't yours.
It was just like having somebody stick a knife in my back. Having her get the upper hand like that.
I know that, Buck. I know that. But don't forget you came over to make her feel the same way you feel now.
I know, Jean, but darn it, she's a woman.
Yeah, I know that. And there's where you made your first mistake. Believe me, Buck, you're wasting your time to put anything over on one of them.
You mean that I...
I mean that you're licked thoroughly and completely. So look, now, why don't you go back in there and patch the whole thing up, once and for all?
What? Me make up with that old she-cat? Not on your life.
Okay, all right, you're the boss. But don't forget, if you set out to cause any more trouble, she can make you move your barn. And that's liable to be mighty foolish and expensive.
But, Gene, what'll I say to her?
You don't have to say anything. Just ask her if she's willing to let bygones be bygones.
Well...
All right, come on. Swallow that silly pride.
All right, you win. But if it don't work, Gene Autry, you're fired.
Well, I'll take that chance. Now, come on. Why, yes. Buck has something he'd like to say to you, Miss Hawkins.
Oh?
Go ahead, Buck.
Kate, I was just thinking. You need water since Crazy Creek is on my property.
Yes, Buck.
Well, I'll see to it that you get all the water you want, but please, Kate, don't make me move my barn again.
Well, Miss Hawkins, what do you say?
Okay, Buck. You got yourself a deal.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, yes. There's one other thing. If the offer is still open, I think I'd like a piece of that apple pie now.
Friends, suppose we take a musical trail ride up to the most beautiful country that this whole West of ours knows. Country where the mountains touch the clouds and the clouds touch heaven. Matter of fact, there's a mighty pretty song included in our all-expense tour that tells all about the sights along the way. It goes like this. Let me ride on a trail in the hills of old Wyoming, where the coyotes wail in the gloaming. For it's there that my heart is home. In the night, let me rest. good friends, that seems to be the last rung on the old ladder for this Smarty Ranch party. But we've got another swell get-together lined up for you at the same time and over these same stations, so try and join us then, won't you? Meantime, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentle wind, I'm back in the saddle.
And loud, loud music is the only kind of life you'll ever understand. Dim lights, thick smoke, and loud, loud music, you'll never make a wife to a home-loving man. A home and little children mean nothing to you. A house filled with love and a husband so true. You'd rather have a drink with the first guy you meet in the only home you know, the club down the street. Dim lights, thick smoke, and loud, loud music is the only kind of life you'll ever understand. Dim lights, thick smoke, and loud, loud music, you'll never make a wife to a home-loving man. A honky-tonk band is the only kind of life you'll ever understand. Go on and have your fun, you think you played it smart. I'm sorry for you and your honky-tonk heart. Dim lights, thick smoke, and loud, loud music is the only kind of life you'll ever understand. Dim lights, thick smoke, and loud, loud music, you'll never make a wife to a home-loving man.
You're listening to The Golden Age of Radio, featuring Joe Mafis and Rose Lee with Dim Lights, Thick Smoke, and Loud, Loud Music from 1953. We also heard music, comedy, and western drama with Gene Autry on Melody Ranch. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When The Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, Kingsley Colton and Betty Jane Tyler star in The Wonderful Day, a radio play from 1939 on Columbia Workshop, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
The Columbia Workshop. Tonight, we bring you an original comedy by Frank Gould. The piece is called The Wonderful Day, and it dramatizes the wishful thinking of an American schoolboy confronted with the typical problems of any normal 12-year-old child. Mr. Gould is better known to the radio audience for his work as an actor than for his work as a writer. He's been heard frequently on The March of Time and The Goldbergs. This is the first piece of his that the workshop has presented. And we present now The Wonderful Day by Frank Gould. Bridge the years. Let me live again the wonders of that night in my boy world. For that day was wonderful, and all time is but a day, a dream of myriad moments out of memory's treasures. The wonderful day.
Perhaps you know more about discipline than I do, Margaret, but it seems to me that sending a boy to bed without his supper is an old-fashioned way of punishing him.
If it was up to you, Larry Hinkle, you'd spoil that boy of ours till there'd be no living with him.
All the same, I think depriving him of the circus on Saturday would have been punishment enough.
Oh, Larry, please. You must think I enjoy punishing Johnny.
No, but...
But nothing. The boy must learn to be considerate. He must be disciplined. He's driving me into a nervous breakdown.
I think we ought to be glad that he's healthy and active.
And mischievous and destructive. His whole month's allowance won't pay for Mr. Borden's window. And all those children's clothes tied up in knots in the schoolroom closet. Think of the ironing and the mending and all the mothers. Oh, well.
I'm sure he doesn't mean any real harm.
Oh, stop defending him. He's been mean and troublesome and disobedient, and yet you stick up for him. Last week you had to write a note to his teacher. Tomorrow I've got to go to school with him. Every other week you have to stop his allowance. Good heavens, Larry. Do you want him to grow up to be bad?
Now, Margaret, you're overworked. You're taking it too seriously. Johnny's a good boy, and you know it. Why, he's going to grow up to be a fine young man. He's bright, and he's got talent, and he...
And he's got a glib tongue and a wild imagination and too much energy. That's what he has.
Then we'll just find other ways for him to spend his surplus energy.
You can talk. You don't have to go to school tomorrow to be embarrassed when his teacher tells me how bad our son has behaved.
Now, Meg, I wasn't any different when I was his age. And my mother, I guess, wasn't any different to me than you are to Johnny now.
I only want him to be a good boy.
You'll be proud of him someday. Now, what do you say we bring him some cake and milk?
You'll spoil him, Larry.
Then I'll try to make him take after his mother.
Well, all right. But remember, he's not to go to the circus. I'm going to be firm on that point.
Here, give me that glass. And cut the cake a little bit thicker. Yeah, that's better. Now, come on. Let's take a drink.
Careful, don't spill the milk.
Johnny?
He's asleep.
Shall I wake him?
We'd better not. He's all tired out. The day that child puts in.
He looks warm. He doesn't look comfortable.
He has your way of gritting his teeth.
And yours of mumbling in his sleep.
Poor darling. I wish now we hadn't sent him to bed without his supper.
Come, dear. Let him sleep.
Good night, son.
Deserve this? Why am I blamed for everything? What have I done? If Henry Tompkins hadn't tricked me into being there, they never would have blamed me for what he did. I didn't break that window. I didn't break Mr. Borden's window. I didn't break Mr.
Just wait till your father hears about this, Johnny Hickok.
Don't shrink on my ear, you hear me?
Your father will beat you within an inch of your life.
No, I didn't break your window. I didn't. Talk about luck. Something told me not to hide in that closet. Something told me not to tie them coats and sweaters and ribbons. Why did I have to hide in that closet? Oh, why did I?
Well, you come out of there this minute, John Hinkle. This is a fine mess. Your mother will hear of this, young man. You bring her to school with you tomorrow morning. Do you understand?
I know I shouldn't have done it. I know I shouldn't have. I'm sorry, honest. I'm sorry. Please don't make me bring my mother. Please don't make me. I didn't break your window, Mr. Porter. I didn't break it. I didn't do it. I didn't. Henry Tompkins. Don't you ever speak to me again as long as you live, John Hinkle. Never, never, never.
I'm sorry, Johnny, but it's for your own good. You must learn the difference between right and wrong.
But the circus, Dad. Not the circus. Gee whiz, Dad. Not the circus. You can't.
I think Mr. Borden's window will cost a good deal more than your price of admission to the circus.
You'll just have to learn to behave, Johnny. Now go to bed.
But I'm so hungry.
You brought this on yourself. You're lucky you're not being whipped.
I wish I was whipped. Wish I was whipped instead. I wish they'd kill me. Wish I'd die. Die of shame anyway when I bring Mom to school. Wish I'd die. What's to live for? What's to live for?
Darling.
Just another 5 minutes, Mom.
All right, dear. There's no hurry.
There's no what? I can?
Of course you can, dear.
Oh, well, in that case, I don't feel like sleeping anymore.
Whatever you like.
Do I have to change my clothes today, Mom?
Not if you don't want to.
Not if I don't want to. Oh, gee, thanks.
The wheat cakes are nice and hot, Johnny.
Wheat cakes? Boy, oh, boy, I'll be washed in a jiffy.
Oh, don't bother to wash. Come and eat.
What?
Come on, son. The cakes are nice and hot.
You don't care if I don't wash?
A little dirt won't hurt you. Besides, if you do wash it off, it'll only come back again.
Holy jumping. You take the words right out of my mouth. Oh, gee, Mom, you're the berries this morning. Okay, I'm ready. Where's Dad?
He's gone. You overslept, young man.
Did I?
Don't worry about it, darling. What are you doing?
I'm pinching myself.
Oh, silly. You want some more cake?
I sure do, but I won't be able to eat the rest of my breakfast if I have any more.
You can skip the rest of your breakfast today. Help yourself to some more cake.
See, what day is this, Mom?
It's Thursday. Why?
You sure it ain't a special day?
It isn't any different from any other day. Eat slower, Johnny.
I have to hurry or I'll be late for school.
Oh, bother school. You eat slowly. A healthy body is as important as a healthy mind. What are you staring at?
Nothing. 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 What will I do? Tell her I don't understand all this? Maybe I better not. Oh, this is just wonderful. It's too good to be true, but I pinched myself real hard. Jumping to Willikers. She let me sleep an extra 5 if I wanted to, and no changing clothes, no washing, no prunes. That's convincing enough. Oh, it's just wonderful. Boy, ain't this a corking day. Everything looks so swell. Guess I'll take my time getting to school.
Good morning, John.
Morning, Mr. Borden.
And how are you this morning, John?
Fine, thank you. Say, did you notice how he didn't call me Johnny like always? Good morning, Johnny said. Like as if I was grown up and a somebody. Gee whiz. Oh, gosh, it sure is a beautiful morning. School never looks so nice. I like it today. I like school. I like teacher. I like everything.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Gee, look at all them coats and sweaters and ribbons. Think I'll tie them all up into knots.
You really want to tie them into knots?
Huh? Oh, gee, I'm sorry, teacher.
Oh, by all means, tie them into knots if you want to.
If I want to.
Yes, it's perfectly all right.
I don't want to. Hi, John.
Hi, Fatty.
Hello, John.
Hello, Rosemary. You aren't mad at me, are you?
Shh. Don't you know you can't talk in class?
Maybe I can't, but you can if you want to.
Can I?
Of course you can. You can do anything.
Yeah. Now, that's enough school for one day. I'll dismiss the teacher. I'll dismiss the class. Then there'll be plenty of time left just for play. Just for play.
Mom, can I have a blanket so we can build a tent?
Just help yourself. Any blanket you like. Enjoy yourself, son.
I don't do my homework till later. Till tonight, maybe.
Don't worry your head about homework, Johnny. Daddy and I will do it for you.
Would you care very much if I didn't mind the baby, Mom?
Who said you had to, dear?
Can I have a new catcher's mitt, Mom?
Yes, Johnny.
Can I have a new tire for my bike?
Yes.
How about a new pair of skates, Mom?
Yes.
Can I take the dog to bed with me tonight, Mom?
Why not, dear?
Mom, can I... Well, that is... Just because Dad said I wasn't to get any allowance, I... Well...
What are you trying to say, John?
Could I have a few cents for shooters, Mom?
Is that all? Here.
Oh, a quarter? I'll be able to blow the whole gang. Boy, thanks.
And don't you fret about the circus. Daddy's taking you tonight, right after dinner.
You mean it?
Of course I mean it.
But you and Dad said I wasn't to go to the circus.
Oh, you mustn't take everything we say seriously. You know how parents are.
No. No, I don't think I know how parents are. But I do know how I like them to be. Gee whiz, the circus. I'm going. I'm going after all. Everything's wonderful. That is, nearly everything. Now, if only Rosemary... Oh, Rosemary. Why does she have to be Henry Tompkins' girl? Wish she was my girl. Wish she was my girl.
Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Rosemary.
You can call me Mary if you wanna.
I wanna.
Then do.
All right. Mary,
what you got there?
A sword.
Where'd you get it?
I made it. With my own hands.
Really?
Yep.
But it's beautiful.
Oh, it ain't.
Oh, but it is.
Sword ain't beautiful. It's just plain sword, that's all. Beautiful's a word that fits other things, like, well, like girls. Girls are beautiful. You're beautiful, too.
Oh, John.
Yeah, for fair.
Do you really mean it, John?
I always say what I mean. You can call me Johnny.
Yes, Johnny. You know something? I like you.
What'd you say?
I said I like you.
That's what I thought you said. But aren't you Henry's girl?
No, Johnny. I am not Henry's girl.
Well, then, What'd you say?
I said I will.
Honest, you mean it?
I always say what I mean, too.
Gee willikers. Gee willikers. Here, Rosemary, knight me.
You want me to knight you?
Can't think of anyone better I'd like to knight me. Hold out your hand.
Why?
Go on. Now I give you the sword. Take it.
Thanks, Johnny.
It's not for keeps. Now you just place it on my head and on my shoulder, and then you knight me. Go on.
Oh, Johnny, you look just like one of those heroes out of the books, kneeling to his lady fair.
Go on, knight me. Give me the name of Sir John the Great, the Handsome, the Strong, and the Brave.
All right. I might be Sir John the Handsome.
You left out Great.
Oh, I might be Sir John the Great,
uh-huh.
The Handsome, the Strong, the Brave.
The Dope.
Wait.
Hey!
Hey, shut up, you.
Boy, oh, boy. Wait till the other fellow see how John Madison got down on his knees.
You shut up, Henry Tompkins. Who's going to make me?
I am.
You and what gang?
Me, myself, and I.
Since when?
Since always.
In a pig's eye. I can lick you with my right hand tied behind my back. You want another shiner like I gave you last week?
Henry Tompkins, why don't you let him alone?
Stop being a Budinsky. Don't you talk like that to her.
I will if I want, and I want it.
And what are you going to do about it?
You apologize right this minute or I'll bust you one. I'm going to count three, and if you don't... One, two...
Oh, please don't, please!
Three!
He ain't Henry's girl. He's my girl. Rosemary's my girl. I got something to fight for. I'll lick him good. This time I gotta lick him. He's to blame for everything. He broke Mr. Borden's window and framed me, says I got the blame. He snitched the teacher about the clothes in the closet. He's to blame for my being punished. He's made my life miserable. He's bigger than I am, and he's licked me lots of times, but not this time. Every dog's got his day, and this is my day. I'll show him. I'll lick him this time once and for all. Once and for all.
Okay, let go.
You take that.
Hey,
stop. Just wonderful. I dreamed about licking Henry all my life. Now I did it. I did it. I licked him. And Rosemary's my girl. Honest. Rosemary's my girl. She's my girl. She's my girl.
There. His mumbling stopped.
What was he saying, dear?
I couldn't make it out, Margaret.
Do you think he's running a temperature?
Oh, nonsense. He simply has your habit of mumbling in his sleep.
Billy, look so warm.
Shh.
It's time for bed, Larry.
Coming.
What are you staring at?
Nothing. Come on.
What were you thinking, Larry?
Oh, not much. Somehow I just keep thinking about Johnny and... I try to remember the things that I used to do and the things that I used to think about. So that perhaps I could get to understand him a little more. He really is a good boy. And if he happens to hurt us sometimes, then maybe we shouldn't hurt him in turn by punishing him too severely. Let's try to remember that after all, he is only a boy. Maybe if we tried some other methods...
What we really need is the patience of a saint. Of course he's a good boy, but I just don't have the strength with all the work and the baby and... Oh, well, maybe I'm overwrought.
Suppose we have a talk with him tomorrow evening and sort of talk things out. See if we can't make him realize that he's not a child anymore and try to make him feel more responsible.
All right, dear. Whatever you say. I mean to start off right with him every morning. But by the time I get him out of bed, get him to wash and eat his breakfast, I'm just fit to be tired. I wish I did have more patience with him.
You just wait, Meg. You just wait and see. Someday we'll be very proud of our son.
Johnny!
Isn't that boy up yet?
Oh, I get heart failure just trying to get him up every morning. Johnny! You'd better get up before I send your father and after you.
Just another 5 minutes,
That's Mom. What you said a half hour ago and 15 minutes ago.
Thanks, Mom.
Did you hear your mother tell you to get up?
Oh, yeah.
Then get out of that bed immediately.
Yes, sir.
How much patience do you think anyone can have with you?
Hurry, John. I haven't all day.
You realize how difficult it is for Mother to go to school with you?
Yes, sir.
Then why don't you think of it once in a while? Now, lace those shoes properly.
But I'll be late for school.
Don't trip and break your neck if you don't lace your shoes. And, John, don't let me hear any more about you being late again.
Yes, sir.
I try to understand you, but only last night you promised to mind Mother, and already this morning you've forgotten your promise.
I didn't mean to.
I know you didn't mean to, but you have to do things to prove that you do mean to mind her. And above all, make it your business to always tell the truth.
I do. I always do.
Hurry, Johnny. Please, I haven't all day. I have to get back to the baby.
Then can I skip washing today? Like yesterday?
Stop talking nonsense. You washed yesterday and you wash every day. Did you hear that, Larry?
Yes, I heard it. But I don't want to hear it again.
That's the way it starts every morning. He always tries to get out of things.
I don't think he will anymore. unless he wants his allowance stopped indefinitely.
Be sure to wash behind your ears.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't forget to brush your teeth.
Yes, ma'am.
And change your shirt.
I will.
And comb your hair.
Yes, ma'am.
Brush those shoes.
Yes, sir.
Hurry to the table.
Yes, ma'am.
And eat your prunes and hurry or we'll be late.
Yes, ma'am.
You have just heard the Columbia Workshop production of Frank Gould's original comedy, The Wonderful Day. Johnny was played by Kingsley Colton, Henry by Jackie Grimes, Rosemary by Betty Jane Tyler, the mother by Gladys Thornton, father by Neil O'Malley, and the teacher by Sylvia Field. Original music was written and directed by Alexander Semler, and the entire production was under the direction of Earl McGill. Next week at the same time, the Columbia Workshop will bring you Shakespeare's As You Like It, directed by Margaret Webster, who will play the role of Rosalind. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
When somebody produces a rabbit from a hat, that's magic and the kind that it takes years to learn. But you can work far finer magic than that and right in your own kitchen, and it's easy. Why, from one package of Jell-O, you can produce a dessert that's magically simple to prepare and absolutely swell eating. What's more, you have a wide choice, for Jell-O is the most versatile dish in the world. Whether it's strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or lime, Jell-O brings you that delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor that simply can't be topped. So look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O, and Jell-O spells a treat.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and the radio play The Wonderful Day on an episode of Columbia Workshop, first broadcast on radio on November 30th, 1939. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.